Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we make sure our tray tables are fastened, our seat belts are secured. I said that in reverse, and we prepare for exploding in the sky. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and here we are. I'm joined once again by my pal, Kennedy T. Cooper. Kennedy, what's up?
Hey, everybody.
Are your tray tables fastened? Answer me.
No, my tray table's hanging loose. I'm not going to lie. It's flopping around.
I got a floppy tray table. Anyways, we're the dumbest people you listen to. Folks, we have an exciting guest this week. We have an author, a poster, prolific in everything that they do. Please welcome Merritt Kay to the show. Hello, Merritt.
Hey, what's up? I leave my tray tables down when we take off, which I intentionally do that because I feel like woke, they want you to leave them up and... I'm just like not about that. That's anyone who knows me knows that like I don't bow to DEI, to woke, and I have caused a couple of plane crashes, but it's worth it, you know?
Do you think that there's really that you really have to shut your cell phones off? I bet you they're just making that up because the pilot wants your attention. He's like, you know, you have to pay attention to me. Turn your phone off.
Like I remember flying in like the 90s to age myself a little bit. And it's like, oh, you have to turn your Game Boy off. And it's like, dog, this does not have wireless capabilities. If I want to play Pokemon with someone, I need to link it with a physical cable. So there's no way this is affecting the plane.
Okay, but what if you physically link cable up to the pilot's controls?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You can hack the plane. That feels like the plot of Home Alone 7 if it were made in 1999.
I was going to say if Hackers 2 had been made.
Oh, Hackers 2, like Hackers Junior?
Hackers 9/11.
Like, oh, Hackers Junior? Wait, Baby Hackers?
Baby Hackers is such a good premise. Why didn't that happen?
Well, speaking of connecting video game playing consoles via cables, Merritt, you have a book out that you've written.
That was an incredible segue.
That was like actually, wow.
That was artful. That was like just a beautiful, elegant segue.
This is the 175th episode of this podcast. I have finally figured out how to host it. So you've got a book out. It's called Land Party.
That is correct. Mm. Yes.
I love this book. First of all, aging myself a little bit, I remember LAN parties. I was there.
I remember my friends talking about going to them and me being like, that sounds so cool, but they didn't invite me.
I, you know, I hung out with friends who, and like we brought our consoles together and stuff. And I would sometimes hang out at friends' places and they would have a few computers there. I was never allowed to bring my computer anywhere because
rude.
It was the family computer. Mm-hmm. It was a Dell that my mom did her taxes on. So it's like, if I had asked, can I bring our computer to my friend's house? She'd be like, what? Like, what? That's insane. Are you just like asking, can I bring our TV over? Like, it's a piece of furniture in our house. What are you talking about?
Hey, is it cool if I bring my ottoman over my friend's house? Like, he has nowhere to sit.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to take two of my favorite bookshelves over there today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, but people did it. And this book documents that.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a really neat book. It's a coffee table style book with tons of incredible photos documenting a now mostly bygone era of gaming. There are still LAN parties, but it's kind of, it's a little forced. Merritt, you held a successful crowdfunding campaign to make this book very successful.
We did like a pre-sale on volumes. On volume, I don't know. There's so many working with publishers. There's so many nested imprints and labels, and I'm like, there's wheels within wheels, right? So Thames and Hudson put it out, and yeah, we did like a pre-sale on volume, which is their internal crowdfunding like pre-sale thing because that's how publishing works. I guess is like you have to ensure that you've got this many pre-sales before you actually release a book. But yeah, no, it did really well. And it's out at retail now too. Like there was a moment where it was like, we weren't sure if it was going to go to retail, if it was just going to be this one pre-order thing and that was it. But enough people were into it that, yeah, you can just like get it at a bookstore now, which is really cool.
Now I have a couple questions concerning the book, or maybe just like maybe a little more generally, like what is a book? Like I've seen them before, but I've never like really like spent any time with them. Like I know that there's like stuff inside. So my first question, like when you open the cover, is it just like one really long page inside that you have to like unfold or how does that work?
Yeah, it's like an accordion kind of.
You okay.
Just sort of, okay.
Pull it out. Yeah. Yeah. It's you can play it. if you're Weird Al Yankovic, the only person alive who knows how to play an accordion, you can actually play it successfully. But
well, this is Eddie Vedder disrespect.
Oh damn! Yeah, I forgot Eddie Vedder was still alive.
Yeah, he taught Weird Al.
This is my friend. This is my friend Chris, who made a party suck erasure.
To play the book, do you have to connect a cable to the book?
That's what's so cool about it. That's what's so cool about the book is, yeah, it is acoustic. It is an MTV Unplugged session, it's cool, right? Because it's kind of a weird topic to. Like it's such like an online digital technological topic and it's this offline book. But I think that's what's cool about it, like to just be earnest for a second, because so much of this culture and these photos, you can find it online, but it's kind of ephemeral. Like a lot of the stuff is disappearing because of link rot and all the kinds of other reasons. So to have this stuff in a book is like, wow, this actually happened. And like for people who were there, it's like, yeah, I was there. That was so cool. And for people who weren't, in like their 20s and stuff, they're like, wow. Some of them were like, wow, I was born in the wrong era, which to me is very funny because I lived through it and was like, yeah, this is fine. I don't know. This is fine. This is the time that it currently is. But I guess everyone has that, right? Where you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I could have been there.
I also
it's easy to fall into that. But I will say, as somebody who was there, I think all the time, child me would have freaked out at today's video games.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like I own a VR headset and I haven't touched it in probably over a year. I think I bought it initially to play Beat Saber as like a form of cardio. And then I was like, yeah, I don't know. You're sweating all over your face. It's kind of uncomfortable. And if you told child me, oh yeah, you're going to have a wireless VR headset that has like hand movement controls and everything, and you're not going to really use it that much. What the fuck are you talking about? That's like the dream of the 90s. And here we are, you know, we're spoiled, I guess.
When I say that I was born in the wrong era, what I'm referring to is that I would have been a much more productive member of society had I been born at a time when you could just smoke cigarettes everywhere.
Hell yes.
Like, yeah.
When I say I was born in the wrong era, I'm talking about those 14th century lesbian nuns who wrote those love letters that are just the most incredible steamy love letters ever made. That was my time.
But what if they were also blasting cigs while they were writing letters?
Oh, what if they were also at a LAN party?
Like, how cool would that be, though?
Lesbian nun LAN party. Come on.
I'm going to Google that after the show's over. So, folks,
you're going to go to a lesbian nun LAN party?
Yeah. Yeah. Or watch whatever pops up on my feed after I type those words in.
Before we move on completely, I just want to say, while I was doing a little bit of research into the publication of this book, just how it came to be, I noticed that you had posted on PC Master Race soliciting photos.
Wow, yeah.
To zero upvotes and zero comments. And you know, this book is published now. So I just want to say, if there's any predators listening
here, like,
no, I'm putting I'm putting Reddit on blast.
Okay, yeah.
Reddit.
The book is published and available. You could buy it at a bookstore. Redditors, you could win in this book.
Well, it's funny. I mean, because like, look, I was like, you know, I wanted to get to give people a chance to, if they hadn't seen it on Twitter, like, because a lot of people were like, yeah, I would love to have pictures of me and my friends in this, like, memorialized. It's so cool. So I was like, yeah, you know, maybe Reddit will be into it. And actually, I found a thread on another subreddit where people were talking about the book. And there was this one guy who was like, what the hell? They want how much? They want $40 for this book? I could make this book right now. You just, all you do is you get these pictures, which are online for free, and you just put them in a file, a PDF, and there, that's a book. And I was like, dog, do you know what a book is? Like, they're like,
see, this guy's in the same boat as I am.
He does not know what a book is. Yeah. I'm like, people, like, a lot of people work on a book and they kind of have to like get paid and compensated for their work. And also it's not a PDF. It's like a physical, nicely designed thing, object that you can have in your home. But he was not having it. He's like, I could just print it out right now. Like, yeah, I guess you could.
I do have one more question too, before we wrap up and move on to the news of the week. So to me personally, I don't know how the two of you feel, but to me personally, the most important aspect of gaming is that the games don't try to shove their liberal leftist feminazi plots narratives down my throat. So like, I just want to make sure before I recommend anybody even acknowledge that this book exists, let alone buy it. It's not like woke or anything, is it?
I mean, look, that's, how do you define woke, right? I mean, like,
here's the thing. Definition changes to how I see fit. So
no,
that's
no one
so
can,
true.
No, define woke. So
it's, I don't know. It's funny. Like, when the book came out, I was kind of like, I wonder if anyone's going to accuse me of being like a rightoid for this, because most of the, I mean, look, it's like the 90s and 2000s. Most of the pictures are like young white boys. And like, part of the argument I make in the book is like, okay, there is actually something to this idea of being in the same space as other people. And like, it's kind of cool. And I say, like, I'm not trying to idealize this. There were problems with the people who were excluded, but in a lot of ways it's better than the current thing of going online and getting like verbally abused by strangers who don't see you as a person. They just see you as like an avatar. So I don't know. I mean, I think this book is really going to unite America, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's for the left and the right. And like, it's so important that we like reach across the aisle and connect with like a Cat 5 cable across the aisle.
Yeah,
so
the first line in the introduction is not left or right, but forward.
Look, I'm just trying to find a third book. Different thing, you know, a third secret thing.
Not woke, not broke, yet a third secret thing.
It's land parties. Yeah, it's the third secret thing.
Well, that's great. I guess I will give it the worst week yet seal of approval. Everybody go buy Merritt's book. Yeah. And speaking of giving money for things, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Did you see that? Fuck, I'm 2 for 2 on transitions. I'm fucking killing it, dude. yeah, Patreon.com/worstweekyet. We're putting out bonus shit. I guess I shouldn't describe it as that if I want you to give us money for it. But yeah, no, we're talking about stuff and things over there. We are in the midst of Final Destination Fartuary, which is where for February and March we watch and discuss the Final Destination film franchise. It's been a lot of fun. I've generally enjoyed even the bad entries in that list. And
it was all fun.
Yeah, it was all fun. It's never a bad time when you're talking about Rube Goldberg death machines. So you can head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet. Hiccups not included. For as little as $2.50 a month, you get that bonus shit. But if you give $10 a month, we say your names. So just want to give a big shout out to Chauncey Unders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions, Down at Mega Force Base, Nandy Angelus, Old Hobgoblin, Dragula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Troopin, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Brienne, Nick Adams, Parentheses, Alpha Male, Id Nix, and CIA Brainbugs. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Hell yeah. So, Kennedy, Merritt.
Yeah.
What a week this was. You know, some weeks just week harder than the rest, you know. What was it? I forget who it was that had that quote. There was like, there are centuries where nothing happens and weeks where centuries happen or something. I feel like we've had very few weeks that weren't a century since I started this show. Like, there's been like two or three weeks where I was like, there's not much to talk about, but this week was not one of them. So let's just begin with, I think, the most impactful, the most important news of this week, and that is, of course, that officially Joe Biden and Donald Trump have secured their nominations. That's right, folks. It's all locked up. We're running it back. 2020 just wasn't enough. We're doing this shit again. I'm speechless. How do we what the fuck? There's no better.
I talk to a lot of people that aren't so online or plugged into politics, and a lot of them were like, leading up to this, you know, in like the last like 4 or 5 months, they were like, there's no way it'll be Joe and Trump again. I was like, it is gonna be that is what's gonna happen. They're like, there's no way, it's too awful. I'm like, it's
too obvious. For it's the sequel, they gotta switch things up a little bit. You can't just do Alien versus Predator 2.
Yeah, you have to do Predator versus Alien.
Ooh.
Right.
Predator like, versus Predator also.
Versus RoboCop, Predator versus Terminator, like something, right?
Yeah, Predator versus Jason. Just like this election.
We got there. We got.
Yeah, war criminal versus war criminal. God damn it. Yeah, so this is, I mean, it's Jover. Like, there's, you know, there's a lot of people, or a few people, I don't even know if a lot. There's some people that are saying, well, like, wait, what about the third parties? Robert F. Kennedy is still polling, like,
oh my God.
It's not negligible, you know? And this week he announced that one of his potential vice presidents could be Aaron Rodgers, which, here's the thing. I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I might vote for that just on the like, yeah, no, you know what? I might be fully accelerationist at this point. I might be like, you know what? We deserve to have an anti-vax Nepo baby and an anti-vax starting quarterback for the Jets. Like,
thank you, Rob Schneider, for your years of courageous service. Rob Schneider, like, you know, I think he could be Secretary of State or something.
Here's the thing. He can do it.
He can't do it. That is true.
I would not put it past any person to be able to do at least as good of a job as Pete Buttigieg any fucking secretary position. Like, I don't.
What is his job though? Like, planes are just falling out of the sky. Trains are derailing. Like, what is his job? Isn't he supposed to stop that from happening? Like, with
it's
his
really
powers?
Funny because if you ask liberals about this, I really can't tell what the transit secretary is supposed to do. Because anytime I've made a joke about Pete Buttigieg being the transit secretary and things being fucked up, they're like, well, the transit secretary is not really, there's not really responsible for that. That's not really. And so I'm just at the point where it's like, okay, I've been told many times what he does not do. What does he do?
He manages the White House train set, like the in the basement.
He builds the White House model train.
Exactly. This cool, it takes up like, you know, like a football field. It's the best. But
I was
okay,
saying,
well, now I want that job.
Right. That's what he wanted to say about. You know, it's great.
Hell yeah.
Can I become the mayor of like
Toontown?
Chattanoochee.
Yeah, you get to wear the little West hat. Nebraska, like, they've got one of those like striped conductor hats that he gets to wear.
Yeah, but it's stars and stripes. It's all like America because like it's an official government position. So like you gotta sell your soul a little bit if you want to play with the trains. It's not playing. It's a collector's. Okay. Yeah, but I think Robert F. Kennedy and Aaron Rodgers. Here's the thing: is that like people are saying like this third party could hurt. You know, it's taking away votes from Biden or whatever. And it's like if Robert F. Kennedy wasn't on the ballot, none of those people would be like, I guess I'll vote for Joe, like 0%. Mm-hmm. This is, if anything, it might hurt Trump just because this is like delusional, stupid people.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think it's like really, it's going to be Trump or Biden one way or the other. And unless one or both of them dies, which again would be the funniest possible outcome.
How fucking funny would it be if both of them died?
Yeah. Like, look, murder,
we're
suicide.
All hoping, like, we're all, yeah. God, yeah, just like, all right, Donnie, like, you shoot me, then I'll shoot you. It's like, wait, then how am I going to shoot you?
We have to do it on a count of three. Do you know Trump? You know Trump would not pull the trigger or something,
right?
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll have to see. But there is some exciting news about the upcoming election. This week, a report was released where researchers have found that AI is providing wildly inaccurate information regarding elections. Just cool. A few examples were like suggesting polling places that don't exist, telling people that wearing clothing supporting candidates is legal in states where it is not legal, even going as far as saying that some same-day registration is not allowed in states where it is allowed. However, certain policymakers have said that they want to increase the use of AI in elections. Something like AI could be used to scan ballots and tabulate results. Gee, I wonder what could go wrong there.
Yeah, let's do hanging chads, but make it drain an entire California's worth of water as well.
I think they should just skip the election altogether and just flip a coin, because like, fuck it, you know.
Yeah,
Donald Trump and Joe Biden should just do rock, paper, scissors.
We'd save a lot of money. We'd save a lot of time. You know, it's let's get this whole circus.
We don't need to bring computers into this.
Donald Trump and Joe Biden need to link their Game Boys together.
Yeah,
they have 24 hours to catch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, everybody wants to be AI these days. This article about that I read about, like how AI and election information is getting distorted. It did include a quote from a Meta department head or something that was like, actually, like, this AI is fine. People are just using it wrong. Like, No. The computers that are haunted by being just full of data and not having an actual brain to understand what any of it means, they're not the problem. It's the people that are the problem.
There's nothing wrong with the lying robot who always lies.
Look, exactly. It always lies. So if you just do the opposite of what it says, that's like it's like movie critics who have a really bad taste. You just do the opposite of what they said.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be fun. 2024, vote or die, or maybe just vote and die. Ooh, yeah. So moving on, we record this podcast on Sunday, so we typically don't get to talk about, you know, the biggest stories that come out on Sundays, and it seems that there's often some real big news. But so last Sunday after we recorded, they held the Oscars, Hollywood's biggest night. All the stars were out, and Israel used that time to start bombing Rafah. So that was really cool. You know, hearing people talk about what Emma Stone's outfit looked like, and it's like, oh yeah, Israel just dropped a bomb on a family for no fucking reason. Sick, dude. So that's fun. Now, I do want to talk about the situation in Gaza, because there's been an exciting development. This week, Israel announced that they are going to start evacuating Rafah and gathering up all of the 1.4 million people that are currently sheltering there. They're going to send them to what they are calling humanitarian islands in central Gaza. Here's the thing. It's a little bit of a tough cookie to crack, because These are essentially, you know, it's temporary housing. So it's essentially like camps where they are sending all the people into this small area. So they're like concentrating these people into camps.
Sure. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's,
but you can't, you know, there's a lot of negative connotations when you're talking about concentration camps. So what you got to do is...
I see.
You get it. Like, you know, you don't want to use that phrase. So even though it's, you know, a mass of people being sent into a very small area and living in tents, you can't use that phrase. But humanitarian islands, that's brilliant. I think whoever came up with that, they should have won the Oscar for best insanity. Do they give one of those out? How do you sleep at night if you've come up with the phrase humanitarian islands?
Can I offer a guess? It would be very soundly on a pile of money. Is my guess. Fair. For whoever
I was gonna say
that.
You take a heroic dose of Xanax every night and just
whoever came up with this needs to be honest. Surrounded by beautiful women on a pile of money, like McBain from The Simpsons, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think money's that comfortable. Like, like physical stacks of cash. There's no way, right? Like,
I mean,
unless unless it's like those old dollars that are all like crumply that you can tell like somebody washed in the 90s for some reason, but they're still in circulation.
Right. The paper ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that, money is all like plastic.
Money's
now,
gone woke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty horrifying, but you know, what can you do? What can you do?
Yeah, that sucks, dude.
We saw a number of politicians trying to speak in public this week and being harassed by pro-Palestine protesters. So, you know, that's good. It's good to scream at people who are enabling a genocide. So we've got that at least.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I guess we just sit back and watch. Donald Trump did say, I think this was this week, it might have been last week, but he said something like, if he gets elected, he will let Israel do whatever they need to do, whatever they want to do to destroy Hamas. And people were like, you want to vote for Joe Biden? Or you want to tell me that you won't vote for Biden when Trump is saying this? And it's like... Joe Biden is currently letting Israel do whatever they want.
He's just not saying it.
There is no difference in the actual things that will happen. It is just like, we won't be gaslit during it. Like, okay.
Are all the libs suddenly going to become critical about Israel if we elect Trump? If so, elect Trump. Like right now, you're sitting around going, this is fine. I don't need to do anything about any of this genocide happening. So, you know, elect Trump so that you'll actually give a shit. I don't know what else to say. I'm an accelerationist now too, I guess.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I don't know. Yeah, I think like normal people have, I think Israel has like just burned their goodwill amongst normal people. I think the only people who are like actually like, this is fine at this point are like turbo Zionists and New York Times op-ed writers who are just like fully advanced lib brain. I think like a normal person who's like gonna vote Democrat or whatever is like, wow, I don't know, this seems bad.
Well, I truly just think that people have no fucking idea like what really like what the situation with Israel and Palestine is at all, because you know the United States is just Israel's buddy or whatever, or, you know, rather the one that is using and controlling it to make sure that we have a presence in the Middle East that we can depend on, whatever you want to say. I just generally think that most people have no fucking clue at all about any of the context of the situation. Like, I was talking to my dad about it a while ago. My dad's like a pretty good guy. You know, he's not in any way, shape, or form like a psycho conservative or anything. And I was talking to him about it. And for like 5 minutes, I was telling him about like, oh, do you know like the history of like why there is a Gaza Strip and like what this, like the fact that there were fences. He didn't even know that there was like a fence around it that people couldn't go through. So like, it's there's just so much catching up to do. To give somebody the relevant context, you have to yell at them for like 15 minutes. Mm. And then you just sound like a crazy person. So it's a losing battle anyways. So I don't know. I think, Kennedy, to what you were saying is I've had this thought before that like a silver lining of Trump becoming president again is that liberals will care about Palestine. And it is a dark thought, but I do think it is accurate. It's yeah, it's not a reason to vote for Trump, but it is something that will probably happen. You know, they got mad at him for everything that every other president has already been doing. So fuck if I know. It's depressing. You know what else is depressing? Pretty much everything. Our next story.
Great.
Our next story this week, in Minneapolis, there has been a law passed that will ensure a $15.57 minimum wage for all workers in the city, including gig workers, like app-based drivers and whatnot. In response to this, Uber and Lyft announced that they will no longer do business in Minneapolis. They were like, hey, if we have to pay our workers a decent, not even great wage, there's absolutely no way we can survive.
All I gotta say is there's some like 85-year-old Italian guy who's like held on to his cab company this whole time that is like,
rejoicing.
I knew it. I got your asses.
Well, good for him. This is good news to that guy. It's bad news. So, like, Minneapolis, that ruling is not in St. Paul, which is, like, you know, the Twin Cities or whatever. So, like, you can get an Uber in St. Paul, and the driver will be like, I can't take you to Minneapolis, buddy. Mm-hmm. I'll drop you off on the other side of the at the edge of the bridge, but you're not going, I can't cross it. It's absurd, you know, just the way that the United States just lets capitalists just bully everybody into doing what they want. I think we should chop off some heads, at least one, you know, just send them a little message. Maybe who knows, you know, we'll figure it out eventually. We have a lot of tech related stories this week. Our next story, this is a pretty big deal. Now, the United States House of Representatives, our Congress, is famously slow to act on a majority of things. You know, emergencies pop up and it takes them weeks to figure it out. Sometimes, you know, we've seen over and over again that they are incapable of even passing something as simple as a budget, which has led us into a cycle for the last 2 years where every 3 months there's an emergency because the government is on the edge of a cliff about to shut down. But this week, the House, a bill came up and they decided, oh, shit, we need to fucking vote on this and we need to do it now. And that bill was to ban TikTok, or as Nancy Pelosi says it, we're not banning TikTok. We're trying to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, you what? Know, that those are all they start with tick-tack. That's, yeah, her brain is just sort of the crusty gears are turning. I'm like, yeah, tic-tac-toe, you know, your kids with your tick and your tack.
I bet at least one member of Congress thinks they're banning the song by Kesha.
And it's, yeah, if George Santos was still there, he would have fought for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, so, you know, this bill is just basically like, okay, so TikTok, you can still operate. We as the federal government are forcing this private company to sell itself. Like, it's insane. This is so fucked up. Like, I was thinking about this because, like, now there's like a bunch of like Steve Mnuchin is like, I'm putting together a team to buy TikTok. Like, TikTok would be worth a lot more than Twitter. Like, we're talking probably at least like over $100 billion. So, like, that's even for like, for companies outside of like Facebook or Google, like, or Apple, like for any company that's not that big, like it's probably still out of reach. So like this is going to be like a coordinated effort between a bunch of different multi-billionaires or whatever. But like I was thinking about it. What if China just was like, or ByteDance or whatever, the company that owns TikTok, what if they were just like, nah, fuck it, we're not selling. You, all of your constituents now lose TikTok.
That's probably what they'll do.
Because here's the thing. This is being pushed by members of Congress that have connections to tech in the United States. Like Nancy Pelosi has a lot of connections to Meta. So like this is the direct competitors of TikTok.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the shit that's on Reels is just TikToks that are reposted there. So like this is probably not entirely motivated, but I would say pretty heavily motivated by these United States-based companies just don't want the competition. And if TikTok's like, all right, fine, we'll pack up, we'll take our ball and go home, Joe Biden will lose 100% of the Gen Z vote. Like, it's insane to like play chicken with an entire generation of potential voters. But, you know, bad strategies to getting reelected. What else could we expect from the Democrats?
Look, okay, look. Full disclosure, I think TikTok has probably been a net negative to people's brains.
Like, I don't disagree.
I think short form video, like I think the only short form video that should exist is that thing that, what was that thing called that existed for like 6 months?
Vine?
That they were like, no. Vine was okay, but they had like the woman with the golden hand, like all these weird TV shows.
Not Tubi.
I keep thinking Tubi, and I'm like, that's not it. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
It was like bite-sized TV. What the fuck was it? Yeah. I know that a lot of people, a lot of comedians, like got paid a bunch of money
Quibi.
To make a Quibi, quick bites, Quibi,
yeah, quick bites. Quibi should exist. Like in a just world, Quibi would exist, and TikTok would not. I think, but that has nothing to do. Like my disdain for TikTok has nothing to do with China or with Sinophobia or anything. It's just with like I've seen how this melds people's brains, and I'm like, this is. Humans were not meant to have this, to like, this is too much. We've accelerated television into something that is far beyond what anyone imagined in the 20th century. And it's this toxic like gumbo of just the most deranged political stuff, like complete like nudity being shown to children, all this weird shit. And I'm like, I feel like this is like bad for people's brains.
I will say that as a stand-up comedian, I am in favor of TikTok being banned, but it is entirely because I am too lazy to keep making stand-up clips. And
yeah.
People that do that are having a lot more success than I. So this is like, I do have a personal interest in TikTok disappearing,
but it's
just because
also,
I don't want to
like,
work.
Also, because I'm old and I'm like, I love text. Maybe text and pictures. That's the best for me. Having to make videos, I'm like, I'm never gonna like have a TikTok to promote my books or anything. I could not do that. I have brain problems. And also I don't want to, you know, have to record videos constantly. So can we go back to just text and pictures on the internet?
Please? Also, somebody took my handle that I use on everything, Andrew Hillary US. Somebody took that on TikTok and won't sell it to me. Like I assume that like they saw, cause it happened right after I had that stupid viral tweet about the Blue Rock, that I tried to make a TikTok and it was like, this username has been taken. And I'm like, okay, somebody clearly like saw that I had a viral tweet and they were like, this guy's probably going to make a TikTok. I'm going to take his username. And then whenever he goes to use it, I'll sell it to him. So I messaged him and I was like, how much you want for it? Cause like, if he wants like $20, I'd probably send it to him. I'm like, sure, whatever. But he just never responded. And I'm like, what the fuck? Wow. You just made this account, didn't post anything, didn't like anything. You just made this account just to fuck with me. Well, fuck you. Burn it. Nancy Pelosi, take away the TikTok. You did it. You earned it, queen.
I think my opposition to TikTok's existence is that it's everyone on there, you know, it's like, why would you start a TikTok if you didn't want to be a star to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody on there is seeking attention, which I seek attention online. I'm not judging that part. But the part that I think is troubling is how TikTok has become this hotbed of like people revealing stuff about themselves that is like reality television worthy to try to get attention that no one should reveal about themselves ever under any circumstances.
We need to bring back shame in America.
Yeah, for real.
Also, like, having secrets.
Secrets are dope.
Secrets, yeah. Secrets kick ass, you know? Maybe if you, you know, did a little consensual incest when you were younger, you could just keep that to yourself instead of going on TikTok and being like, me and my cousin, there was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Maybe you don't need to show us the shit stains in your husband's underwear. Maybe you could just, you know, divorce him or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or teach him to do laundry and tell him.
Teach him to wipe.
I'm going to divorce you if you don't start doing laundry.
Ladies, if you're listening, teach your husband to wipe.
Ladies, if you're listening, divorce somebody.
Divorce someone right now. Oh, it's the worst week yet. Divorce somebody challenge. So we've got another tech story here to move on. This week, Airbnb announced that they will start banning indoor security cameras. Now, my first reaction was to think about all the times that I have walked into an Airbnb and immediately just taken off all my clothes and masturbated. And I am just now thinking, fuck, somebody might have been watching that.
Like, wait, they were allowed in the first place?
I guess. I don't feel good about that. Because I don't stay in Airbnbs a lot. And like, you know, because I usually, if I'm traveling, I'll like stay on somebody's couch or floor or whatever. But, you know, every once in a while, I'll splurge and get an Airbnb. Just because, you know, it is like a little nicer than getting a hotel room because you have like a little bit more space. But because whenever I travel, I'm frequently staying with friends. When I do get those moments where I'm actually alone, I turn into a fucking jerk off gremlin. And I hope
your friends aren't listening.
Here's the thing. Because I'm not doing it at their house. I'm doing it whenever I get to the place where I'm alone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I guess it's on me because I should have, you know, everybody has cameras everywhere these days. I should have thought about it, but I sure did not.
Like an old timey spy movie. Check under the lamps for bugs.
Yeah,
check in the corners, check the teddy bear's eyes.
I need some kind of sweeping device.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A little detector, but
No, I was jerking off in a kitchen of a fucking somebody else's house. So
wow.
Yeah.
In someone else's home.
Look, they
like even if they don't have a camera, they live there.
There's no rules
violating them.
There is no rules in the Airbnb charter that says where you can or can't jerk off.
You are non-consensually exposing this person to jerking off
loose cum particles in the air.
Yeah,
mine are very tight, Kennedy. I got that tight seed.
All right, that was a good episode. Let's get out of here.
I have to leave.
I do too, and this is my house. Where do I go?
I haven't stayed in Airbnb in years because I feel like I used to a decade ago, I would do it when I was traveling. And then there came a point, like an inflection point where the cost had risen because they were able to do that at that point. And also like hosts got so weird about everything that it just was easier to stay in a hotel. Like now I just stay in hotels because if I'm going somewhere, usually I can find a cheap hotel and it's like, I don't have to worry about someone being like, don't touch my books. Don't touch my book collection. Don't use the toilet.
And they all have that one door that's locked from the inside. And like, you're not allowed to know what kind of shit is going on in there. And it's like, man, I know it's,
there's
I know
like
it's
muffled
nefarious.
Crying.
Yeah. Why won't Airbnb let me access the dungeon?
Look, I saw Barbarian, okay? I'm not staying in an Airbnb anymore. Like, It's not worth
Justin
it.
Justin Long might own it.
Justin Long might be there. I don't want to encounter that, you know?
Yeah, we're more scared of Justin Long than the monster from that movie.
easily. I'm with you, Merritt. When at first, like, when Airbnb first came out, I remember I was traveling across the country with very little money at one point. And it was a godsend back then, you know? I stayed in places that were so cheap and met really fun people at a lot of them too, because that was more of a thing that happened back then. Now it's like nobody wants to talk to anybody, and stuff like, which I'm fine with sometimes, but it was fun to like actually meet the hosts and like smoke a joint with them or something and hang out for a little bit in some of these places. And then it was like a few years later, you'd be going on Airbnb and it'd be like house rules, and it's like a list that's like 25 items, and they like want you to clean up after yourself and shit. It's like, mm-hmm. if I go to a hotel, I can just basically trash the room. As long as I don't smash the TV, they won't even call me.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like any of these startups, right? It's like Uber or Lyft. Like, they're really convenient and cheap at first, and then they're like, okay, we've driven competitors out of the market. Now we can jack the price up because everyone has no other options. So,
but I don't see any issues.
We can still go to Howard Johnson.
That's right.
Howard Johnson got me if no one else got me.
I stayed at a hotel in fucking, where was I at? Roswell, New Mexico, that had a corner bathtub. So it was like a triangle-shaped bathtub. And, I bought a CBD bath bomb from the weed shop and took a bath in a Super 8 hotel in Roswell, New Mexico. And let me tell you, if there were cameras in there,
he saw some disgusting stuff.
They sure did. Anyways, like I said, we got a lot of tech stories. There's so much tech. This week, SpaceX. SpaceX's Starship had its most successful launch so far. And by that, I mean it went the longest before exploding. Out of all their launches. The way that they write headlines about SpaceX is fucking insane. They're like, oh, SpaceX is most successful launch yet. And it's literally like, yeah, this rocket, it went around the Earth one time and then exploded. Like, what the fuck? Now, I know that, like, with space travel, there's a lot of trial and error. And I did not bother to look into this, but like, I wonder how many, this is, again, there have been three Starship launches and all three of them have exploded. Did, like, when NASA was trying out rockets, did their first three blow up? Like, I don't think so. I think that they like figured out how not to blow it up before they started shooting them into the sky.
Yeah. Is this not like a solved problem? Like, yeah. It's not like you're the first person who's trying to do this, right? Like, people have done this before, like, a bunch of times. It's like you're playing Kerbal,
yeah, but are you
space,
suggesting...
space program and just, like, launching rockets, like, into mountains. Like, what? What are you doing?
But are you suggesting that Elon Musk should learn from communist Soviet technology?
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to start over from the beginning, okay? Yeah, that's the only way to do it with patriotism.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like probably the same thing as Twitter, right? Where it's like, we're going to get rid of all these DEI policies and stuff. And then you gradually realize, oh, actually the people who are doing this stuff were trying to do it successfully. They weren't just trying to push their like political views. So now we slowly have to adopt all of the strategies that they did after wasting a ton of time and money.
Elon Musk fired all the content moderators from building a rocket ship. Yeah.
You can say whatever slurs you want in space. There's no laws
space,
up there.
In space, no one can hear you say this.
In space, nobody has a securities cam set up in their kitchen.
You can also say whatever slurs you want if you have been exploded by a billionaire's rocket. There's no rules against it. So I don't know. This is fun. There was like multiple stories I saw that were like praising this launch. And then Elon Musk was tweeting like, we're so close to going to Mars. And it's like, dog.
Do it. I fucking dare you.
Please get on the rocket. Anyways, Hey, you know what they have in Texas?
No.
No more porn. That's right. This week, that was so lackluster.
Sort of a
I'm sorry.
Trick question.
I apologize to, like, the listeners.
I'm thinking about something that is there, and you're like, actually, they. Wow. That's like, what do I have in my pocket? Nothing.
Ooh.
Whoa.
So
you got me, Bilbo.
This
Can
week,
you ever really have anything in your pocket when you think about it?
This week, after a user age verification law has gone into effect in Texas, Pornhub just pulled out. And so now if you go to Pornhub.com in Texas, it just shows you this message that's like, hey,
unlike
your state passed a law that you can't look at this anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, unlike every piece of content on Pornhub.
Yeah.
They pulled out.
Right, right. Age verification for the viewer is the least of Pornhub's worries. So I was reading this story about it, and the craziest thing in this story is that I read there was a poll of Americans that said 58% of Americans have watched porn at some point in their lives.
58?
Now, I think that that means 42% of Americans are fucking liars.
I can see like maybe 10, like 5 to 10%,
yeah,
who are like maybe saw something and then like averted their eyes immediately and walked out of the room with their eyes closed. Yeah, beyond that, you're lying, right? Like,
also, my grandma's never hardly been online in her whole life. You
right.
know?
If you're of a certain age, yeah, my grandmother has never been on the internet. She distrusts it to the extent that she knows that it exists.
But this wasn't just online pornography. This was pornography, period. And
yeah, but I also don't think my grandma would have bought a Hustler. Just saying.
Yeah. Like, you had to like actually like you had to really want it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or you had to be wandering around in the woods and discover like a secret cache.
I reject the notion that there's a single living human being that has never once in their life been like, I want to watch somebody fuck. I reject it. You know, and that might be my personal bias. That might be a me issue.
All I'm saying is I think it's generational, you know, like if you were to poll Zoomers about them, it's like 100% have seen porn, right?
Over 100% for
I
sure.
I think, you yeah. know, I think obviously this is a stupid and pigheaded and idiotic idea to do this. Like, we're going to age verification as a backdoor way of banning porn. Like, the government just wants to know if you are watching porn, right? That they don't care about kids. Obviously, we know this.
No, not at all.
But I will say, I think it is too easy to access porn in the modern world. And it's just, and not even from like a moralistic point of view necessarily, but maybe from that too, but from like a creativity way. Like 20 years ago, if you didn't have a computer in your room, you were like, okay, I've got to stay up and watch the Red Shoe Diaries with David Duchovny to like get just a tiny hint of a titty. Or like, like, you know, if you wanted to see a dick, it was like, fuck, man, I don't know how that happens. Like, how am I going to do that? Like, and you had to really try, right? You had to exercise your brain. And now it's just like you use your, it's because they be on their damn phones so much, right? They're just like, search boob on your phone. And it's like there. Kids don't have to try hard enough anymore. And that's why test scores in this country are so bad now.
Yeah,
I agree. It is. It you used to get this sense of satisfaction, you know, because you had to put real effort in.
You had to put work in, the sweat of your brow, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's just everything is AI and automated and TikTok. So
the first piece of porn I owned was a page that I secretly ripped out of my friend's Playboy that I stole, and then I folded it up into a small enough piece where I could hide it inside of the sleeve of one of my magic cards, just in case, just to keep it hidden. And here's the thing:
that's
I
what
jerked
I'm talking
off to
about.
That 100 mm-hmm. times.
That's
and,
what I'm talking about.
Like, I won't disagree with you. I don't know like what the solution is, because like I don't. In any way, shape, or form, I don't want to like.
The solution is porn geocaching.
Yeah, yeah, we need to leave some in the woods again. Yeah,
Because like I said, I used to be able to jerk off multiple times to one still image. And now like half the time I'm like fucking spending 3 hours trying to look for a video that is like in any way appealing. And I don't know how you fix that, but I don't think it's good.
We just get rid of high speed internet access. Just like unilaterally.
High speed internet for everything except porn, only dial up.
Right. Yeah. You have to really be picky about what you like. If you want a video clip that's 3 minutes long, that is going to take half an hour to download. So you better be sure.
Yeah. Because, light some candles, you know,
we fried our dopamine receptors so badly. And I just, you know, it's,
I will say I, one, I worry. One, I think it was in 2019, so it was a while ago. I was doing like variations of dry January. So, you know, I would go, okay, no alcohol, no nicotine. And then 1 year I was like, I'm going to also do no porn. Like,
I think
no,
there's a name for that.
Yeah, but it's just people being weird. Like, I wasn't trying to like do like a nofap thing. I was just like, I was just doing it for like social experiment. What will happen to me after 31 days of just not looking at any porn? And let me tell you, I was doing weird shit to jerk off that month. At one point there, that was the year that there was like a dual polar vortex. And if you remember the satellite image, it was like two cold fronts coming down from Canada and it looked like boobs. And I was like, hell yeah, dude.
No,
that was also the year of, where somebody made a video of them peeling a peach. And I was watching that and I was like, man, shit is getting weird.
The first porn I ever had, we found some pages of a dirty magazine that had been like disposed of in the woods.
Hell
and me
yeah.
and my buddy dried them out carefully because they were like, we like cleaned them. You know, they were like muddy.
You did art restoration.
You did some CSI shit.
Did you see that thing where they just updated? They cleaned
that's what I was thinking of.
At the Louvre.
Literally,
that was us, except we're like 10 and in the woods.
That works. Oh my God. That works. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I know that there is a problem, and I know that everything we've tried so far is really just to punish people puritanically. But I don't know where we go. You know what? You're not listening to this fucking podcast for solutions. You're here to laugh at problems. And
no, we should bring back porn theaters. Like, people used to just go see pornos in a movie theater. And then it was like, you had to be bold enough to walk down there in public and then go sit next to your neighbors and shit.
Yeah.
I think that was
a sense of community with that. You know, it's like you're going outside, you're getting fresh air, you're seeing people. I think that's really healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe you crank a guy off, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And, you know, if we bring back shame in this country, I think that will help. It'll all try to get, I don't know. I'm trying to connect things that have no connection. I'm lost. Let's move on. Folks, bad week for hustlers out there. Yeah. Those of us in undergraduate at Hustlers University suffered a striking blow this week when Andrew Tate was once again detained by the Romanian police, this time because a fellow streamer named Aiden Ross said on his stream that Andrew Tate was planning to flee Romania. Yeah, it's like Andrew called me up and it was like saying like, hey, I'm getting ready to leave the country. So if you want to see me, you better do it now.
And I'm bringing this back to remember what I said about we should have secrets again.
Yeah. And if your friend has a secret, that should definitely not be said on a stream with thousands of people watching. So the Romanian police came and took him into custody. And while he was in custody, they also served him with a warrant where he is also now facing charges in the United Kingdom stemming from some kind of sexual assault or misconduct or whatever in like 2012 to 2015. So, I saw an article that the headline was, with Andrew Tate being arrested again, is this the end of the manosphere? And Here's the thing. I don't know who writes headlines, but I don't think incels are going anywhere. Like, I don't think Andrew Tate getting arrested will lead any single individual to be like, you know what? I should question my choice.
Yeah, no,
the manosphere has fallen. Millions must seethe.
These fuckers are not going to do any self-examination.
No way.
Did you see the workwear, the menswear guy on Twitter point out that he wears women's blazers?
I did.
And he's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, he's like, just, I'm putting it out there, like, there's nothing wrong with this, but, like, if you look at the blazers he's wearing, they are stretchy and designed to fit over a bust, and all of the blazers he wears are like this. They're women's blazers.
There's nothing feminine about Andrew Tate. Like, have you seen how he hangs out in his house by himself in shiny shorts? Like, that is a man, okay?
Who's every picture I see of him where he's around women gives off such an incredible, hard to explain vibe.
Yeah.
It is.
Pictures of Andrew Tate around women are more eerie than fucking Skinamarink, dude. There is something going on.
It is the worst vibe ever, pretty much. I hope that he goes to jail forever. That's probably the best for society. It won't change much necessarily, but it would still be satisfying. Very satisfying.
I would not be against it.
But, you know, the manosphere is winning right now.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, you say that the manosphere has fallen, but have you forgotten that Sydney Sweeney exists?
That's true. I forgot.
I have not.
Yeah. No, I did forget about that. But
Sydney Sweeney is basically 9/11 to me. I never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. God, that whole thing to me is like, okay, we have just entered into like this post-real, like, words, language no longer actually communicates anything except tribal allegiance, and words themselves, you can just use whatever combination you want to string together. And people will be like, yeah, that it supports my thing. What I think, I hate woke and boobs. So woke, no woke now. It's fucking crazy. Like, it's just like,
if you tried to explain this to a normal person,
like, I'm just trying to picture like explaining this to like one of my family members and being like, yeah, no. So this like actress who's on Euphoria, which is like a famously insanely horny show and has been for years or whatever, and showed up on SNL and had a low cut top on, and because of that, liberalism is dead or something.
Because of that, we've won the fight.
Can you imagine walking up to a regular non-online person and saying, boobs are back? They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They start looking around like they dropped something. Like, what do you mean? What's going on? Yeah, but hey, you know, I mentioned 9/11 earlier, and this brought something to my... I was thinking about this week. I want to ask what you guys think. Do you guys think that the hijackers illuminated the fasten seatbelt signs before they crashed into the towers? That's what I want to know. We gotta get that black box back out. Okay, so speaking of airplanes, on to our main story for this week. This is Kennedy. I'm excited. I came up with a new segment name. I'm really proud of this one. So I want to know how you feel about it. Our new segment is called "What the Fuck Is Boeing On?"
That's good.
So, Merritt, last week we talked about three separate incidents where Boeing planes broke apart midair. And guess what? We've got some more. This week, American Airlines Flight 345 had to make an emergency landing after a mechanical issue. Undisclosed what the mechanical issue was. Also this week, United Flight 433 did its regularly scheduled landing in Oregon. No alerts or anything. It wasn't an emergency landing. But when the plane landed, they discovered that a huge chunk of the fucking fuselage had fallen off somewhere. Just a big old gap in the plane. Now, this was originally reported that it had made an emergency landing, and so there had to be like a bunch of corrections issued. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa! That story about the plane that broke apart midair, it was not an emergency landing. Just to be clear,
it did break apart.
It totally did.
We didn't lose those parts. Clearly. Yeah.
Also, a United Airlines flight that I could not find the flight number for took off from Sydney, Australia, bound for San Francisco, but had to return 2 hours later and land again in Sydney because of yet another undisclosed mechanical issue. Now, to be an hour into a 14-hour flight or however long it takes and be like, we got to go back. And then to not even tell anybody why you had to go back, that's pretty crazy. But hey.
There's good news, though.
There is good news. Boeing has faced increased scrutiny this year since an Alaska Airlines flight where the door blew off mid-flight. Boeing, they've been under, like, they've essentially been on, I don't know what the word for it is, but it's basically like probation ever since those two 737s crashed and killed everybody like 5 or 10 years ago or whatever. So they've been in this like increased, like you're on thin ice period. And so after that door blew off earlier this year, the FAA opened an investigation into Boeing. So Boeing isn't being very cooperative in this investigation. For example, they had footage of the employee that last worked on that door that blew off of that Alaska Airlines flight. But Boeing deleted the footage. So that's fun. Thankfully, some within Boeing are speaking out. And one of the loudest voices among them was a man named John Barnett. Now, Barnett was an employee of Boeing for more than 20 years. And most recently, he was the head of oversight for quality assurance inspectors in Boeing's South Carolina plant. Now, during his time there, he raised a number of concerns about the quality that he was assuring. But when his complaints were not met with action, he decided to start actually documenting and recording many of the issues he was seeing. Now, this year, once Boeing was getting hit with this extra scrutiny, he decided to speak up. And this week, he began giving a 3-day-long deposition to the investigators. Now, unfortunately, after the second day, he was found sitting in his pickup truck with a gunshot wound to the head. Now, I know what you're thinking.
Male loneliness. Nobody's talking about it.
So true.
Well, his death has been ruled a suicide. Now, to be fully transparent, days before, he was talking to his friend about the fact that he was testifying, and he told his friend, I'm not scared, but if anything happens to me, it wasn't a suicide. But like, that could just be a coincidence, right?
He could have changed his mind. Yeah.
People
just be saying stuff.
Here's the thing. Like, have you ever heard the theory that like, or the conspiracy theories are just a conspiracy theory, that like the federal government has like CIA spooks go in and like convince people to believe in even more outlandish shit so that the things that are actually real just will be written off entirely? You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, this happened a lot with like early UFO sightings where people were just seeing like experimental government crafts, and then somebody would show up to town and be like, "Yeah, no, I saw that there was like little green men." So that like all got folded into the narrative, and then it just everybody wrote it off. So like, there's a lot of people that are saying shit like, "There's no way Boeing would kill somebody that was threatening to expose the company." It's like, In what world would that not happen? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, I am at a loss for words. Like, you know, we all saw, you know, in 4K, whenever Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself. And like, with something like that, at least it kind of makes sense. Like, this dude had dirt on the most powerful people on both sides. Of course they're going to kill that guy, right? When somebody's like got dirt on the fucking company that makes planes, like You really have to kill that guy. Like, you just end up paying a fine. Like, you're not even going to get in trouble. Like, even if you did exactly what it seems that you did, where you, like, pushed out inferior products to keep your profits up, nobody's going to... You live in a capitalist fucking nightmare. You're going to be fine. But no, they still fucking killed this guy. Every single article about this that I've seen has included, like, if you or someone you know is struggling with suicidal ideation, please call the helpline.
No.
If you or someone you know is struggling with Boeing right. coming for your ass.
God.
If you or someone you know has any information that could potentially threaten a multinational, multi-billion dollar corporation, make sure your affairs are in order. This is so fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like, and honestly, I hadn't even really thought of it the way that you put it, of like, you don't have to do this. Like, there's like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You get slapped with some fines. And the fact that they did it anyway is like, oh, so that's where we are now.
Yeah.
It's like that a man's life is worth less than maybe a couple million dollars if we're being optimistic. Like, oh, okay, cool.
I also saw some article, and I didn't read the whole thing because, of course, I didn't. But apparently, several United States airlines now make more money from the credit cards that they're affiliated with than the flights.
Yeah, that
makes sense. Yeah.
Cool. What the fuck kind of world do we live in? Like,
bad one. The worst one.
The worst world yet. I don't.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we got to do something about the American credulity problem. I talk about this not infrequently because it's just something that just bothers me so much. You know, it's like people just... The fact that there are so many people just willing to be like, well, Boeing wouldn't do that. They're a company. Companies don't kill people. It's like,
Wait a minute.
We've reached this point where Americans are credulous about everything until you show them like the most extraordinary evidence. And then they might change their mind. But it's like, these rich fuckers can just come out on television and say anything they want about anything. And a lot of people will just be like, well, probably true because a rich guy said it.
Kennedy, I think I just figured something out here. Okay, follow me. I don't think it's a leap in logic, but it is a multi-step explanation. So you have
okay,
to.
Okay.
Okay. Part one. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. You with me so far?
Okay. With you so far?
Step two. Corporations are people.
Okay. I'm still following.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, through the process of deduction, people kill people. Corporations are people. Boeing killed this guy. Okay, there. I actually didn't have much. I thought there was more steps. I should have written this down.
the last thing I'll say about this subject is just, I love that everyone, you know, we've talked a little bit about talking to people in real life and how they aren't always with you on some things with the internet, you know, like there's like internet political stuff that we're all tapped into that, like, you go talk to your uncle and he's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? But every single person I've talked to that I've asked, do you think that Boeing guy killed himself? No matter what their politics or what kind of person they are, 100% of people have said no.
Well, that's good. That's maybe a sign. Nah, probably not. Hey, we've got one last story here that I want to close out on. This is a story. I think this is good. This is a story about a community banding together in the face of an existential threat. So, as more and more evidence of climate change keeps piling up, some communities are taking preliminary steps to protect themselves from this rapidly changing world. One beachfront neighborhood in Massachusetts decided to join together and shore up their defenses against the rising tides. So homeowners in this neighborhood pulled together $500,000 to build a sand dune to protect their homes. They used 14,000 tons of sand. And 3 days later, the entire thing had washed away. They flushed $500,000 down the ocean.
L plus no sand plus the ocean plus.
These fucking idiots brought sand to the beach. What do they think was going to happen?
How does that even, like, how do you, at that amount of money, like, you'd think you'd have someone do, like, a viability study or something to be like, actually, this won't work.
Here's the thing. You would think that.
Yeah.
But have you ever noticed how rich people just like being told yes?
That's true, yeah.
And have you ever noticed how, if you're near a rich person and they're offering you money, you might just tell them yes to like some crazy idea that they have.
Yeah, that is true, I guess. Yeah, if they're like, we want to buy a fuck ton of sand, and you're like, yeah, sure, what's it for? Oh, we're going to build a wall of sand to stop the ocean. You'd be like, oh, okay. Well, and you'd just be like, that's never going to work in a million years, but I am going to sell you the sand.
It's yeah, I've got great news for you, which is
this is going to put my kids through college.
I sell these special sand buckets. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to move sand around, you need to use the sand buckets.
I like
They're
to
more
think
expensive than regular buckets because sand.
I like to think that this was just a bunch of rich people asking some guy that they saw driving down the street that had a dump truck. They're like, hey man, you know where to get any sand? And this guy was like, I got you, buddy. Yeah, that's what I like to think.
The sand right here, this is the non-washing away, non-blowing away kind. I guarantee.
Preview for next week's show, a sand dealer has been found with a bullet hole to the head. If you or anybody you know is struggling with thoughts of sand ideation, please get help. Shit. Well, hey, Merritt, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of fun. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you?
Yeah. I, as of this week, against my better judgment, have gotten back on Twitter. I was off
Let's
for like 6 months.
Go.
I don't know. It's rough, dude. Like, it is not what do you think
of,
out there.
What do you think of what we've done with the place?
Yeah, it's like, God, I just like, I step out. Like, it was bad when I left, but it's like, oh man, it is worse. And not even in terms of just like chuds and everything, although it does make you want to see them constantly. Like, it's like, hey, did you know about this? I'm like, I did, but thank you for reminding me. It just like the pure like experience of using the site now is just like, oh, I have to click through to this and then I can't see my likes anymore. And then I have to do like, what? Why? Why? But I am on Twitter at Mary Kay. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm kind of more active on there because there's no algos, and I like that. I like there's no algorithms.
Team no algos.
It's nice, you know, just to like be like, oh, I can see a, you know, and just what my friends post in like in chronological order with no ads. That's pretty cool. I'm on Instagram as well, Mary Kay 9. Mary Kay was taken on there, but. Other
Rude
than that,
hell. I wonder if it was the same person who took my TikTok handle. We have they must be stopped.
Was.
They must
it probably
be
was. Yeah, I write a monthly column at 1-900 Hot Dog, which is a comedy website run by Robert Brockway and Sean Baby.
Oh shit, I like that. I like those guys. I had no idea you were involved with that. That's fucking rad.
Yeah, Sean Baby from the internet. You might know him.
Nice.
And I write a monthly piece there about, and it's that site is honestly one of my favorite websites at this point because it's like one of the last places that posts actual content by human beings that's like researched and funny. It's like long form old cracked style like text and pictures, which is cool. I mostly write about like forgotten 90s cartoon bullshit, but I have some other stuff coming up too. And and then the last thing is I have a website, otherstrangeness.com, where I post fiction mainly. And working on a novella right now, so hopefully that'll be out in the next little while.
Ooh. Fuck yeah. Well, you have a lot of interesting stuff. Kennedy, what do we have?
What do we have to promote around here? Not much.
I will be doing some stuff eventually. Keep your eyes peeled.
Andrew Hillary will be on tour again. When? Not anytime soon. We don't know when.
Yeah. Yeah, coming to a town near you, maybe someday.
I have a new podcast coming out, and I'm very excited about it, but I'm not ready to actually really announce it yet. So I wasn't going to say anything, but now I want to say something just because I feel like we have nothing to say.
We're planting the seed. We're planting the seed, Kennedy. Yeah, I have one stand-up show next week, I think, and I don't know where or when. Follow me on Instagram. I'll post about it.
If you want to see Andrew Hillary do some comedy, just wander around Pittsburgh in a fugue state. Maybe it'll work out. I don't know.
There's nothing that could go wrong, possibly, unless you walk into a river. We've got a few of them. More importantly, you can find the show at Worst Week Yet. You can support the show by going to patreon.com/worstweekyet. And more importantly than that, tune in again next week for more bad news.